Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, Toronto's Spring Film Festivals are at full speed ahead right now. Inside Out, Toronto's great LGBT film festival, is on through Sunday, featuring a women's spotlight evening tonight, including Cloudburst, Tom Fitzgerald's new movie starring Olympia Dukakis. And coming sooner are the Toronto Japanese Film Festival, the CFC Short Film Festival, and North by Northeast. So festivals are a chance for you to see in a big screen foreign, indie, niche, low-budget, or experimental movies. Kind of never make it to the local movieplex. But at a recent screening at Inside Out, one of the directors said something that struck me. Iris Sachs, director of Keep the Lights On, made the point that were it not for the support they receive from these film festivals, many of these movies wouldn't have been made in the first place. So that's all the more reason to go see them. So this week, I'm looking at a horror movie about jaded tourists who want to ogle technological excess, an historical comic drama about how technology made women happy, and a drama about how the unhappy women in a Lebanese village try to stop a war. First, Chernobyl Diaries, directed by Bradley Parker. A group of American backpackers are relaxing in Ukraine, where one of them has an apartment, when one of them announces a change of plans. Instead of Moscow, let's try extreme tourism, a day trip in and out of Chernobyl. That's the uninhabited site of the nuclear disaster back in the 1980s. It's a post-apocalyptic time capsule. All the workers of the plant only had 5 minutes to flee the village, leaving half-eaten sandwiches and family photos behind. With its abandoned classrooms and peeling communist murals, it's a modern-day Pompeii. And nature has reclaimed the town of Pripyat, with feral animals and plants running wild, so it's a creepy thrill for the travelers to explore. And their guide, Yuri, carries a Geiger counter to warn them if the radiation level gets too high. But when Yuri disappears, possibly attacked by something in the wild, and the van they came in stops working, they're forced to find their own way out. Can they survive the radiation, the wild animals, and maybe the people who never left the town? So I spoke with its writer and producer, Oren Pelly, this week. That's the guy who created the classic Paranormal Activity series. He said there are moments where you don't see anything, but you hear a noise far away. You don't know what the noise is, but just the fact that the noise exists, that you're hearing something cluttering in an apartment nearby when there's not supposed to be anyone there, that can be really scary. And he's totally right. The soundtrack really is scary. It's amazing. And the images and the mood are just perfect. But what about the movie? Well, it is a horror movie with some suspense, but the story lacked much humor, sympathy, or surprising plot turns. And didn't quite make sense to me. Just a lot of panicky people screaming and shouting as they run around, randomly chased and knocked off, as tends to happen in horror movies, by mysterious and possibly something, I won't give it away, bad guys. Yeah, it's scary, but not as scary as Paranormal Activity. Next, Hysteria, directed by Tanya Wexler. I saw this one at last year's TIFF, and it's just delightful. So it's Victorian London, and an earnest and handsome young Dr. Granville, played by Hugh Dancy, is trying without luck to help people stay clean and healthy while remaining loyal to the ideas of Lister and modern medicine. He's hired by a psychiatrist, a Dr. Dalrymple, who gives special treatments to rich society women suffering from the blanket ailment hysteria. Women who are designated frigid or nymphomaniacal or moody or argumentative, well, they're all hysterical, so the problem must be in their uterus. And hysterectomies were sometimes considered a cure for these ailments. Treatment consists of manual genital massages behind discreetly mounted little red velvet curtains. Yep. So he's engaged to marry the Dalrymple's conservative daughter, Emily. She's a pianist and a phrenologist. "Oh, Dr. Granville, your thrombus is rigid and jutting," she says when she touches his head. But he always seems to be in arguments with the fiery Charlotte instead, played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, who's a suffragette and social worker who runs at a settlement house in the impoverished East End. and poor Granville might lose his job because of the repetitive stress injury in his right hand. But together with his gayish best friend and steampunk inventor, played by Rupert Everett, he just might have the solution to everyone's problems, a new machine that may permanently cure hysteria. I was expecting nothing from a movie about the invention of the vibrator, but it was a real treat. A romance, a comedy, a historical drama, an old-fashioned Hollywood-style movie, along with a taboo twist. I think it's a great movie. And Where Do We Go Now? Directed by Nadine Labaki. So this movie was the surprise winner of the People's Choice Award at last year's Toronto Film Festival, and director and star Labaki was the first woman to win this prize. The movie takes place in a small village, a town divided equally between Muslims and Catholics. It's surrounded by landmines, and all too often people get shot or blown up. Up at the top of the hill is the graveyard, where women dressed in black from both sides meet to bury the dead. The town itself is peaceful, and after some brave kids weather the landmines to set up an antenna, the mayor declares it's TV night in the town square, and everyone gathers to watch the blurry movie. The danger, though, is that the fragile peace will break, and the men will start killing each other again in reprisals. So the women of the village formulate a plan. Anytime news about violence reaches the village, they'll hide it or distract the men from seeing it on the TV. Gradually, with the cooperation of the priest and the imam, their plans escalate and the schemes get more and more elaborate. They stage religious miracles, even secretly bring in Eastern European strippers, anything to hide the fact that someone in the village was killed in an incident. They don't want it to be escalating into deaths and war. Will it work? Can they create an island of peace in turbulent Lebanon? And will their final shocking surprise serve to jolt the men away from their never-ending violence? I thought the movie had an extremely slow beginning with a low-budget, handmade feel to it, but the pace picks up and gets much better in the second half, and the ending's just great, clever and imaginative, leaving you with a much better feeling than you came with. Chernobyl Diaries, Hysteria, and Where Do We Go Now? Open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. And Toronto's Inside Out LGBT Festival continues through Sunday. Go to insideout.ca for more information. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM with podcasts and complete movie reviews available on my website, culturalmining.com.